our first guest, Tino Mantella. Tino is president and CEO of the Technology Association of Georgia, and he joined TAG in September of 2004 as the organization's new president. Prior to joining TAG, Mantella had amassed over 20 years of related experience leading two of the nation's more prestigious volunteer-driven organizations, the National Arthritis Foundation and the YMCA of Metropolitan Chicago. As president and CEO of two multifaceted and complex charities, he spearheaded agendas that led to the development of innovative new services, resulting in the facilitation of significant membership growth. In addition, Mantella's track record reflects impressive results in fundraising, advocacy, and economic development. Since coming to TAG, Mantella has worked with a team of dedicated volunteers and staff to build a prestigious board made up of 60 technology stakeholders, has grown membership by more than 500%, and has added a series of programs and services that support TAG's vision of educating, informing, and uniting the technology community. Mantella is also a member of the boards of Venture Atlanta Coalition and TAG Education Collaborative and Catholic Charities. Tino, welcome to our show, and thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
You know, we have seen, and it has been reported, that Atlanta has all of the support infrastructures or the perceived support infrastructures that would be needed to foster and grow high-tech industries like the educational and institutional research facilities here in town and a vibrant creative class and capital financing and business social business structure needed to induce growth. But there's been studies out there that has revealed otherwise. And, you know, since we moved from 10th to 11th back this past year from our nationwide counterparts, are we losing ground in the high-tech race industry here in Atlanta?
I would answer that question and say no. I would say that 10th or 11th, I think we've been bouncing around for 10 years between 10th and 12th, have about 170,000 to 180,000 technologists in the state and about 13,000 technology companies. We have, I would say, most of the infrastructure to support us becoming a top three technology state. Most people look at the states across the U.S. and they say there's California and then the rest of the country in respect to technology. And, you know, one example is that is they get about 50% of the venture capital dollars that are given out, distributed in the through two technology companies on an annual basis. But we have, you know, we have some great, great things like our the universities here, the airports here, the spirit of entrepreneurism that's strong and well here. And we have some great clusters, which is an important aspect, technology clusters that we can talk a little bit about.
What in your mind is lacking? I mean, like you said, we've been in this range 10, 12 over a decade now. And you said we have the potential to be top three. What are we lacking to get into that?
Venture capital money would be at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. We really only have a few venture capital firms. Some would say one that focuses on really Georgia and Atlanta's technology space. The investment for our young companies is difficult right now. Most of the investments come from outside the state, so one of our goals through Venture Atlanta, which we were one of the three founding organizations that started that, was to bring VCs in from around the country to invest in Georgia's technology companies. And we've brought in about 250 venture capitalists over the course of the last 3 years through that activity, and that's going to continue to grow. There's now people recognizing that there's some great talent here and some great companies here. And when I say people, I mean the VC community, and I think that's a positive. Our state has not been as quick to jump in respect to treating technology as a top, as one of the most important, I would like to say one of the top three most important industries in our state. So some places like Texas and other states, Maryland, and there's some others that have been making major investments in technology. Mm-hmm. Our state hasn't done as much of that, and we're hoping as a new governor comes in that he'll treat the importance of investing in technology as a key in issue. And also, I would just add to that, investing in where Georgia leads currently. areas like financial technologies and information security, health information technologies, which were number one in the nation, and looking at those areas and kind of the GE model. If you're number one or two in these industries, let's look at how we can make a greater investment in that versus picking an area that might be sexy, but it may not be as sensible to as invest in because Georgia doesn't have a strong position in that area.
You know, that's a very interesting point that was brought up last week, actually, in our biotech show, that the state of Florida, for example, has made tremendous investment in the biotech industry, and Florida actually shows up on the most recent, well, not most recent, but in a 2009 Georgia Tech article for, called High Tech Lessons from Atlanta, in which they mention that the other states of California, New York, New Jersey, and Florida are common destinations for kind of the Georgia-born IT companies. Similar to biotech, we seem to spawn our IT companies, but then they seem to leave. And other states that seem to, or other cities that seem to have a more popular position include the obvious Silicon Valley, but also D.C., Boston, Dallas, Fort Worth, L.A., Chicago, Seattle, Philadelphia, and Houston. Those were above Atlanta on the Cyber Cities 2010 rankings. What do you think, Tino, these other cities have that Atlanta doesn't have that is drawing these companies?
Well, you'd probably have to look at each one on a case-by-case basis. But if you take Boston, for example, they certainly have a strong cluster of technology companies, and they have the universities, and they seem to, over the course of time, have created more of a ecosystem to support the technology companies that are in a growth area there. Texas, I think it was either Forbes or Fortune, but the 10 best cities to do business, eight of them were selected in Texas. So there's they're making a major investment, as I said. They also have some strong clusters like semiconductor business, and so that's another area. So each one has their own case, I think. And you know, you mentioned biotech, and I think biotech is an interesting area. We're stronger, I would say, in medical devices than we are in pure pharma. And coming out of the Arthritis Foundation, I think the pharmaceutical industry and having our state look at that as an area where we lead, where we've been trying to do that for a while, it's difficult because we don't have a leadership position in that today. And pharmaceutical companies, it takes, for the most part, years to go through the clinical trials, a major investment in money, and then the chances of success for those drugs actually getting to market is very difficult, as opposed to a financial technology area, for example, where you have less barriers to entry, which is good and bad, but you can get into a business very quickly, and we have a lot of entrepreneurs now doing that in our area, and those are places that I think stand a better chance of building.
When you're dealing with these companies from, you know, venture firms all over the country and probably the world, and you're telling them about Atlanta, what is their thoughts? Like, what are they saying back to you? Are they saying, like, you know, well, I'd like to go there, but, or, you know, it would be great if they had this?
That's an excellent question. And so we have actually asked that question to a number of the leaders that have come into town, some of the biggest investment firms. And one thing they say is that it's sort of a catch-22, but if they're in California, which there are a number of them in California, the likelihood for them to travel and invest here is less than, say, if they're in the Northeast, because they have a long trip to make, and if they only have one or two companies, they basically say it's not worth their time coming in and making that investment. So they may try to pull them out of the state, which happens more frequently than we'd like. There's a study done by Danny Breston out of Georgia Tech a couple years ago where he found that 40% of the venture-backed companies leave the state within the first 5 years, which I don't know if it's quite that high, but even if it's 25%, it's not something that we like. So I think it's the matter of having enough critical mass here. It's also that I really think that people don't understand the strength of Georgia's technology community and the kind of activities we have here. One of the things TAG's doing in 2011 is we're hiring a PR executive that we're calling our technology evangelist. And their sole job is going to be promoting Georgia's technology community inside and outside the state. And we think that that's needed. No one is really doing that at this point in time in any organized fashion. And so TAG's going to take on that role of leadership. So I think some of it is lack of awareness and then also lack of a critical mass of companies that they're investing in today. So it's why not stay closer to home, and there's enough to pick from. But the companies that do come here are very impressed with the kind of quality technology companies that we do have, and they're willing to make investments in those companies once they get in. We're working with someone now. It's not really public knowledge yet, but they're looking at creating a fund of $400 million to invest in the health area, and they're partnering in California with a group that would look at that. We're not sure if that'll happen, but the person came here that's been an investor, one of the first investors in Google, and his comment to me was that he didn't realize there was as much going on here as he has found, and he spent a week here. So that's the way to do it, is really spend the time, dig in, and you can see the activities that are happening here and the types of businesses that are strong here.
Yeah, you know, and that's a very interesting point, because a recent article that was released here in December from the Tech America Foundation indicated, that's the one that talked about the Cyber Cities 2010 analysis, and while Atlanta dropped from number 10 to number 11 in the most number of employed high-tech workers, it actually appeared as number 4 in the country in terms of the number of tech establishments nationally. So that means that really what we've got is a lot of small 1, 2, 3, you know, person type operations that, I don't know, maybe those are too small for the venture capital organization. But the study that I think you were referencing from Georgia Tech that came out a couple of years ago, from Bresnitz, mentioned that the venture capital industry with a local focus was crucial to embedding a company locally. And if what would you, would that be your number one thing that you think if we could improve would dramatically change the success of the high-tech industry in Atlanta?
The venture dollars mm-hmm. investment?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's number one. Because we have most of the other things in place, and you make a good point on these small companies 1, 2, 3, and 4. We did TAG does. By the way, we're partners with Tech America. We actually represent Tech America in the state of Georgia, but we do primary research studies each year. And one of the studies we found, we compared companies in Georgia with companies in California and in Boston. And we talked about, after 4 years, we asked them how many employees they had, 4 years of business. And Georgia's companies only had 13% that were over 10 employees, where in California and Massachusetts it was closer to 30%. So you pointed out a big flaw, if you will, something we have to work on, is how you take those smaller companies that have potential and help them to grow. And that's creating an ecosystem. One thing that TAG's doing in Savannah is a program called Economic Gardening, which came out of Colorado economic development program, and it focuses on second-stage companies that have potential. Sometimes they're called gazelles, and help them to make it to that next level. How do you get from 5 employees to 100 employees? And one of the things we do is help them with market intelligence, and another is staffing assessment. Staffing assessment, as an example, is your first person in the company may be someone that has a strong product focus but really doesn't have a strength in being able to sell or being outside in the community. So being able to assess at what point you need to add different people in order to grow to that next level is important.
And, you know, that's a good point. And I think the Bresnitz article from Georgia Tech, that study, also talks about the IT community sharing its information and its community a little bit better by being on each other's boards. So it's not just getting the you know, CEOs and the proper executives. It's their nature and who they are and what their experience is. I know that TAG is trying to create a community for these IT and high-tech companies, but that's one of the things in this study that was mentioned last year, that the high-tech companies here don't interlock with each other or with the large companies that dominate Georgia's economy. That was a quote from that study. Tell us what you think about that and how TAG is trying to address that.
A lot of people look at that aspect of the study and question whether that there isn't the level of connectivity that they might think there is if they're running a smaller business. But I think it's fairly accurate. Bresnitz did a good job looking at that research. And the term I like is stickiness. How do you create some stickiness in our community where a company that does have potential stays here and grows? And we spend a lot of time, and the state spends a lot of time, and the chambers spend the majority of their time in recruiting, and I'm involved with the chambers and with Georgia Department of Economic Development, so I see that. And we celebrate, as we should, bringing in the headquarters for NCR and the headquarters for First Data and bringing in the Kia plants. But we all know in this room that most of the growth in America comes from organic growth. Mm-hmm. How do you take a small company and make it larger, and then how do you keep those companies here? So creating those connecting points is important. I just had a meeting this morning with our friends at ATDC, and we talked about how we could identify the enterprise companies, and they're all members of TAG, part of our 11,500 members, how we can get those enterprise company leaders, the C-suite leaders, to agree to join a small company board. So if you bring on a board member from a Home Depot or a Coca-Cola or a McKesson, you name the company that's here in strength in Georgia, and you bring them on to a small company and create a board around that, there's more potential. I think Bresnitz's point, and one of his points, is there's more potential for that company to stay here if they begin to make connections with companies here. One of the complaints probably in every state, and we try to do some things about this with TAG, but the young companies feel like they can't get in the door to sell to the big companies mm-hmm. here, which is another piece. But if you can get someone on your board and start making those connections and take advantage of TAG, for example, that has 28 different special interest groups, you can begin to form your infrastructure that will then allow you to probably grow here and stay here.
Mm-hmm. Were the larger companies open to that?
You know, it's surprisingly so. Mm-hmm. We found that a couple things. We do a business launch competition where we give away, in partnership with Georgia Research Alliance, $50,000 to $100,000 a year, and we look for mentors in that program. And many of them are successful serial entrepreneurs, and they, I think 90% of them say that they will be mentor when we ask them. And I think we're going to find the same thing. We're just starting to test this with people in larger companies that would be interested in spreading their wings a bit. We're not talking about being paid $100,000 to be on a corporate board, but being on one of these small boards, being able to put that on their resume, being able to make a contribution to that company, and learning at the same time. So, we're still exploring it, and people listening to this, if they want to contact us and get on the list, we're going to start that program next mm-hmm. year.
You know, as a relative newcomer to Atlanta myself, having arrived in 2005, I found the business community here surprisingly open, given its size and its prestige and other things that you might think about a big southern city not being as friendly and as open. Atlanta is, I think, one of the most open business communities I have encountered, which is a very positive thing. I think it is not as difficult to be successful here in Atlanta as it might be in other big cities, but it is a very large city, and while some of the communities are very small, you have to figure out your way to get to those communities in the middle of our 6 million people.
Yeah, and some of the, you know, when you think about a young company with one or two or three employees, their heads down. They're trying to get their product online and then sell their product or their service to the market. So they don't necessarily have time to make the connections that they need to mm-hmm. make. And there isn't, when people tell me about California, and I haven't spent a lot of time there studying the their technology community, maybe some of our other people on today will talk about that. But there's a sense of a ecosystem or an infrastructure that's there. So there's a restaurant that people go to and they do business, and then there's investment companies that will actually put $15,000 or $25,000 in to just take a chance on the company and help them to get a little bit of seed money to get going. So there's more of all of the elements in place to help a young company make it through all the rungs, all the burning hoops of fire, if you will, to mm-hmm. get to the next level.
Yeah, and you know, in your PR activities that you mentioned you're going to be embarking on in 2011, are you going to try to assist both the avenues we've talked about to help create a more congealed and informed community as well as the venture capital group, or is your PR efforts going to be focused in one or other areas?
We'll do both. The thing that we're talking about at first glance, and I came back earlier this year from a conference in Ottawa. We have about 60 technology councils around North America that are something like us, and the Ottawa Technology Council hosted, and they showed us a 5-minute video that talked about how technology was central to Ottawa's economic development, a tech-based economy. Well, we don't really have a video here that, not that the video is going to make or break, but just to start to tell the story that we are a strong technology community. If you're looking for a place to grow your business, move your business, or build your business, Georgia would be a good spot. So that'll be a key, but we'll also want to communicate out to the venture community. The key thing that we want to do is identify the great things that are happening in Georgia, a new invention, growth in a company, whatever it may be, and spread that word in the right places in Georgia. You know, when you go into the Hartsfield Airport, the busiest airport in the world, does anyone see anything there that says Georgia has a strong technology community? So yeah. Even just getting some promotional materials there mm-hmm. On some of the signage would be a step in the right direction. A lot of times, and I've been known to say this in the chambers and other places, there's a lot of discussion about water, transportation, and education and the shortfalls that we have in those areas. So to some degree, we're our own worst enemy because we're promoting the wrong things instead yeah. of talking about NCR coming to town or mm-hmm. a company like VendorMate or Cardlytics or a number of our young companies that are actually growing, or the story of CBeyond that came here from Florida with 3 employees, and now they're a public company with 1,000 employees that have been mm-hmm. quietly growing here and doing a terrific job, a terrific technology, public technology company. So we need to get those stories out there, and I think that's going to perpetuate greater activity, more companies mm-hmm. coming here.
I think that's an excellent idea. I think PR is a very important key to that, especially since we have, you know, almost unparalleled research and institutional support here. I'd like to open it up now to the other panelists if anybody has a question for Tino.
Sure. Tino, my days of the technology community here in Atlanta go back before TAG, and one of the reasons for founding TAG was that we had multiple organizations like the Southeastern Software Alliance and the Business and Technology Alliance, and that we weren't speaking with one voice. And just wonder, from what you've seen now with TAG over the last 6 years, have we achieved that objective? Are we listened to more, and now we're speaking with a more consolidated voice?
We're doing more of that. I think we're doing a better job. TAG, educate, inform, and unite the technology community. So the idea around, you know, starting with the 3 societies and now having 28, is companies can go to one place and find an awful lot for not just the CEO but for all of their employees. So that's one aspect. One of the loudest voices I heard in the technology community when I first arrived 6 years ago on the scene was that Georgia's technology community is fragmented. And so I think we've done a good job of moving in the right direction. Another example is 25 organizations, public and private, came together to talk to the gubernatorial candidates, and we wrote a white paper around what was important about technology. We put it on our techthink.com website, and we spoke with one voice to the leadership and said, here's the things that are important to Georgia's technology community. Here's the things you need to think about. Things like the clusters, things like investing in with more venture dollars into our technology community. So we're moving in the right direction, but we still have a ways to go.
I think one thing we all ought to do is thank Tino for the terrific job he's done
through
CAG to grow this community and help make it vibrant.
Thank
Absolutely, and that's a great segue. So, Tina, I know we've talked a lot about your organization TAG and what it does for companies and what it's trying to do, but tell us a little bit more about how people get involved and what you also like people to know about TAG and how we can contact you.
So there's several ways to contact us. You can certainly call the TAG office, but we have two websites, tagonline.org and tagthink.com, and there's all kinds of information on those sites. The tagonline.org is more of a push-out information, so you can go on there and see our calendar of events, and typically we'll have, in the course of a year, about 250 different events or activities that people can participate in. And people that are in companies that want to know more about any aspect of the technology community, and that could be functional areas like business process management, Enterprise 2.0, business intelligence, or industry areas like health, logistics, smart grid, or even people areas like women in technology or entrepreneurs, TAG would be a good spot to come in and make a connection. So once you join TAG as a member, you have access to all 28 of those special interest groups. Mm-hmm. And we send you more emails than you probably ever wanted to receive. And you get lots of information to stay current. And you can just register online for things and show up. Most everything's free once you sign up as a member.
Yeah, I have to say that I think TAG's a wonderful organization. I've been to a number of events sponsored by TAG, and your subgroups and special interest groups are fabulous, and it's a great benefit that you just sign up with one membership and you get access to all of them, and you don't have those little nickel and dime little sub costs. So I'll echo Steve's comment that we thank you for creating TAG.
Well, thank you. I was not the creator, I have to say, but I think I've played a role with a good team of building it. It's actually been around for about 11 years now, since 1998. And as Eric said, it was born out of three organizations, Women in Technology, Southeastern Software Association, and Business and Technology Alliance. And in their wisdom, they thought there would be some economies of scale to create one organization to be the back of the shop support for their organization. So it was like, you throw the party, we'll do the dishes. But shortly after that, the tech boom occurred, and TAG took on a life of its own, even though it's still an important part of TAG to support the societies.
Yeah, great. Well, we certainly thank you for your expertise and for helping the industry.